The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. And this is a Nerdy Show microsode. That's where we talk about what you want us to talk about for 15 minutes or more. Hi, I'm Cap, and with me are some guest hosts, Jonathan and Andrew from Wicked Anime.
Yay, that's us. Hi, I'm Andrew. I'm Jonathan.
And Steve-O from Friday Night Fan Fiction.
Hi, I just finished struggling through canceling porn memberships.
And on a completely unrelated but maybe tangentially related note, in this episode, we're going to be talking about the filmmaker Takashi Miike. Now, I've never seen a full Takashi Miike film. What I have seen of his work has been shown to me exclusively through Wicked Anime's hardcore anime panels, which are all the rage at events like Anime Boston, where they have standing room only attendance. And Steve-O, you're a fan of his work.
Oh, yeah, huge fan. I've seen a lot of Takashi Miike's work. I haven't been as up to date on Japanese cinema since probably the mid to late 2000s, but I went through a huge phase and watched basically as many of his films as I could get a hold of at my local Hollywood Video or via Netflix.
Awesome.
Just a heads up, you know, Nerdy Show's always an uncensored program, but the films of Takashi Miike, they are extreme, and we're going to be talking about some of those extreme things. So, brace yourself.
His directing style is as diverse as this Nerdy Show cast right here.
Yeah, it basically his gradient is from hella ape bat crazy to I just made a deep story with violence. He's also made children's films.
Yeah, like the fact that he can make quality entertainment for the whole family and then switch gears completely to something like Visitor Q or Audition is insane. He is one of the most well-rounded, versatile directors in Japanese cinema in the last three decades.
And then you got films that are very Quentin Tarantino-esque, which is ironic because he takes everything from Japan, but he makes a movie like 13 Assassins, and mm-hmm. that one is just so deep and it has like a slow burn to it, and then it leads off to this excellent fight scene at the end.
Or you have Dead or Alive, where a girl is fed laxatives and drowned in her own feces.
Yeah.
Yep.
So as you can tell, he's a kind of extreme filmmaker. This request we should point out comes from Brian Schulman, who supported Nerdy Show and thereby earned this microsode. So thank you, Brian. Let's drown our own feces.
I'm so ready here. I'm so excited.
Hopefully that line alone gave him confidence enough to be like, yes, they know what they are talking about.
Jonathan, Andrew, you guys have pretty much made a career of talking about really fucked up Japanese cinema, both animated and otherwise. And yes. So what's your introduction to Miike's work?
Me personally, I believe I was introduced through Ichi the Killer. I think that was the first one I ever saw. And Ichi the Killer goes along the lines of, hey, this is absolutely insane, but it's also kind of a comedy, which is weird. It has funny parts in it, but it's disgustingly gross with like tons of gore. I believe that's the one you saw at the Hardcore Anime panel where the guy gets kicked in half.
Yeah, that did happen.
Down the middle in half.
Yeah. Now, that's
an
actually
extremely stylized sort of violence.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but also horrifying. He makes you feel things, and the things he makes you feel are not good.
Yeah, most of the time.
And Ichi the Killer is actually his breakout international work. It came out in 2001, and at the Toronto International Film Festival, they handed out barf bags with the logo imprinted on it to the screening audience.
Oh, I wish I had one of those.
eBay.
Yeah, that sounds like quite the collector's item, but no, I wouldn't get one from eBay because it could be used.
I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah. One of the first things that I saw of Takashi Miike was Audition. I actually haven't seen all of Audition yet, but I know its infinite grotesque abilities.
It's a romantic comedy.
That is actually Hold on. There's a story behind that statement. That is actually how one of my friends from college got two of his friends to watch it. He actually said, oh, you should see Audition. It's a romantic comedy. And so they did. They just watched Audition. And then
body bags squirming around.
It wasn't. Yeah. But the first time that I was actually exposed to that was one of those top 100 compilation Halloween specials that they show on the Sci-Fi Channel, where they show the most disgusting or most violent movies of all time. You know, that thing. Mm-hmm. Audition was one of them.
Yeah.
And everybody freaks out about it. So that was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that.
When I was in high school, a friend of mine and I were very big into Japanese horror movies. And we ended up renting one just at random. We thought it was going to be in the vein of like Ju-On or Ringu or anything like that. It was called One Missed Call. And it ended up being not just a horror movie, but a satire of the entire Japanese horror genre at the time. And as a result of that, I saw the director was Takashi Miike. And I'm like, oh, okay, let me see what else he's done. And the next movie that we rented was Ichi the Killer.
Yes.
So bit of a, you know, that was kind of a transition. One Missed Call is great. The cinematography is fantastic. The mood is fantastic. Miike really knows how to milk a scene for suspense as well as for laughs. Ichi the Killer could be a masterwork in how to satirize ultra-violence, whereas we have directors in the rest of the world trying to make things as grotesque in a realistic way. Just the colorization that Miike uses, like in particular the scene where the one guy is split in half, the scene where the guy is cutting his own tongue off, just so much there. Just the one shot of Ichi going into the room and suddenly just shooting out different limbs and internal organs. It's just so fantastically unbelievable. Then the camera cuts and it's a guy's face severed, just sliding down a wall, looking completely unrealistic. But for people who don't like blood and guts, obviously that's going to get under their skin. But for people who are familiar with how far directors like to go, that's like, holy crap, this is the funniest thing I've seen. And yet it's accurate.
It leaves you cheering. Like, it leaves you applauding it, you know?
Absolutely. From there, I ended up watching Audition, which it is really, really good. The first half of the movie, you're questioning whether or not you rented the wrong film. And it really takes a deft hand, very subtle work, to go from that into the latter half of the film, where everything flies completely off the rails. Not to a point where it's unbelievable, but to a point where these are things that you should have noticed, but you didn't.
Yes. Yeah. It actually reminds me of another director who's amazing at this sort of thing. He's a Korean director, Park Chan-wook.
Yeah. Old Boy.
Yeah, Old Boy, Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance. Lady Vengeance.
Yeah. Yep.
And then recently The Handmaiden.
I haven't seen Handmaiden yet, but it's on my list.
It's been highly recommended to us.
Fantastic. So Audition is incredible. It would be like a half horror film, half rom-com, half horror film.
You said a half and a half and a half. That's 150%.
Okay, well, that's what Miike directs at. He puts 150%.
That sounds like Takashi Miike. Yeah.
All right. The next film I would probably quantify as my most enjoyable to watch and expose other people to. We'll call that my relative favorite. Visitor Q. I'm assuming neither anybody on the call has seen this or heard about it or anything.
I've heard of Visitor Q, but I have not seen it.
It's still kind of hard to get a hold of. When you have a scene where the mother of the family is squeezing her bare breasts so that milk sprays out, and the scene goes on for like 5 minutes, and one of the other characters is just sitting in the kitchen, kneeled down with a transparent umbrella, letting it happen. It's very art house, sexuality exploration.
That's some French New Wave cinema shit right there. Yeah,
very much is. There is a guy who ends up having sex with a corpse, and midway through coitus, he starts saying like, oh my God, she's getting wet. It's a miracle. Oh my God. He reaches down, his hand comes up brown, and he's like, this isn't a miracle. This is shit. Like, that is the stuff that Miike is incredibly good at. Taking a scene that otherwise would be disgusting, absurd, and revolting and making you laugh and cringe at the same time. Other movies of his I've seen. I've seen Gozu. I've seen the Dead or Alive series. I've seen the short TV series, MPD Psycho. Full Metal Yakuza, Yakuza the Demon, and his Masters of Horror entry imprint, which is really, really good.
Yeah, we should talk about that because Miike's recognition after Ichi the Killer became very quickly an international recognition of what he was doing with film, which is really quite remarkable. He's in a very short list of Japanese filmmakers who get this degree of international recognition. So the Masters of Horror series is an anthology that was produced by Showtime. And in the first season, he had an episode alongside Don Coscarelli and John Carpenter. Like, that's kind of a big deal. His episode, however, was not aired because it was so fucked up, Showtime would not release it.
What? They're saying something because it's Showtime.
Yes. They did, however, put it out on video along with all the other Masters of Horror series, but he's been censored quite a lot. In fact, Ichi the Killer had 15 minutes edited out of it for China and was also censored in the UK to some degree.
Nice. Can I just also put in there that if you're watching Ichi the Killer in any format, watch the subtitled version first and then watch the dub. Just like Golden Boy, the dub is hilarious. It adds so much character to the entire movie.
Good.
It's all like British Australian. It's awesome.
That's a good comparison.
Get a hold of it however you can. Uncensored, obviously, is the best way to go. But dub or sub, you're going to have a good time.
One of the things that Takashi Miike has been doing recently is that he's been doing a lot of anime adaptions, he's been taking animes and video game properties and making live action adaptions of them. One of the first ones that he had done was Ace Attorney, Phoenix Wright.
Before that, it was Yatterman.
Well, he did do Yatterman. Yeah, he did do Yatterman a long time ago. But I really think that the breakthrough one that everybody was like, oh my gosh, he's doing an anime adaptation or a live action version of an anime-video game. It was Ace Attorney. And it had all that really fun effects, you know, when he says, like, objection, it like flies across the courtroom and it smacks the other person in the face.
Very Miike.
Yeah. And I guess for a courtroom drama, it was very successful. And then from there, recently, he's done things like Terraformers, which it was an anime that is featured in our hardcore anime panel.
Don't watch season two. Season two is trash.
Right.
Watch season one. Season one is very Game of Thrones-esque gore and main characters getting killed off. Like, what the hell?
Right. But this is about Takashi Miike, and he did a live action version of that.
I just have to make sure people don't watch the second season.
Yeah. And and then after that, coming out 2017, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, he's making a live-action adaptation of that.
Which should be nuts.
Which it would be. It seems right up his alley, you know, just...
I hope so.
Hyper-violent, but also very stylish.
Now, nothing has been seen from that yet, but it is going to be an adaptation specifically of the Diamond is Unbreakable storyline. And it's coming out in summer of this year, which is kind of crazy because I don't recall seeing that announcement until, like, fall of last year. So the turnaround must be... lightning fast. Yeah. I mean, this guy makes a lot of movies. He's made over 100 films since he debuted as director in 1991. Or close to 100. Yeah. Anyway, a lot. And what's interesting about this JoJo's Bizarre Adventure thing specifically is it's being developed by Warner Brothers and co-produced with Toho.
Yes. Well, because Warner Brothers helps produce the anime as well.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe not as interesting then. But I suppose what perhaps is interesting is that it is an American-financed live-action film, which is going to have a lead actor who is also Asian for a change in this anime manga adaptation.
Yeah.
It should be good.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, they chose a really good one for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure because it was a small-time one, which could fit in the course of a movie. But
they could condense it.
But yeah, it's just not the most exciting one, which... I think that any live action JoJo's is going to be really good, but it's just not the most exciting storyline that they could have possibly done.
Well, here's a weird thing. Unless I'm reading it wrong, it looks like the full film title is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure: Diamond is Unbreakable Chapter 1.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, if they did like the serial killer line or maybe up until the abandoned house or something like that.
That's something. We'll see. We'll also wait and see what happens.
None of you people who are listening are probably even know what we're talking about at this point. So.
But hey, this guy makes movies for everybody and we're going to do our best to talk about as much of that as we can. Let's say, for example, I stumbled down a wiki hole for this fella and I was really fascinated by what you guys mentioned. He made children's films. And these children's films in question, among the most prominent is a two-film so far series called Zebra Man. Oh boy, I watched the trailers for these. It's just a little bit of core sample of this. The first film is kind of like The Tick. It's about a down-and-out guy who sort of becomes a superhero and gets in over his head. It's kind of like, what if there was a movie about Arthur? Sort of. A failure as a third-grade teacher and family man, Shinichi Ichikawa lives with his cheating wife, his teenage daughter who dates older men, and his son who is bullied because of his father's presence in the school. Escaping from everyday life, Shinichi secretly dresses up nightly as Zebra Man, the title character from an unpopular 1970s tokusatsu TV series he watched as a child before it was canceled after the seventh episode. as a result of meeting a wheelchair-using transfer student named Shinpei Asano, also a fan of Zebra Man. Shinichi not only regains his love for teaching, but also develops feelings for the boy's mother. He then goes on to fight a crab-masked serial killer, develop actual powers, learn that the tokusatsu was actually warning about a real alien threat, and stop an alien invasion.
That sounds awesome.
It does sound awesome. Are you ready for a record scratch? Because here's the second movie. Zebra Man 2, Attack on Zebra City. The year is 2025. 15 years after the events of Zebra Man, Tokyo has renamed itself Zebra City and has instituted a zebra time starting at 5 a.m. for 5 minutes in which all crime is legal. The government allows the zebra police to attack any and all presumed criminals. One zebra time results in the attempted murder of Shinichi, aka Zebra Man, surviving the attack but having lost his memories. He must team up with television's fake Zebra Man and a young protege to save a mysterious little girl from Zebra Queen and her zebra police, and then save the world from Zebra Queen's ultimate plan to use the strange aliens from 2010 to bring zebra time to the whole world.
That sounds zebra amazing.
We'll link to the trailers. We'll link to all the films we're mentioning on here. Yeah, there's a lot to love from this guy's movies. They look batshit insane and just like a lot of fun. In this case, a lot of fun for all ages. And in most of his films' cases, a lot of fun if you have a extremely high fortitude, the most fucked up gore you've ever seen.
Yeah. Although it was funny, back in the day of Dead or Alive, which came out in 1999, which you can tell that it was like around the PlayStation era because all the 3D CG that they use in it, it might not be good enough for a PlayStation, but definitely an N64. But like one of the opening scenes is a woman getting thrown out of a window, and it's like superimposed over live action footage, but she totally looks like she's just like a 64-bit naked woman falling from a skyscraper. It's so good. You just love them for it. You watch it and you can tell it's like, oh man, I don't think he cared how much effort was put into the post-production of this movie.
That's amazing. That sounds like a weird kind of like subversion of digital art and film.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Yeah. I suppose as we get to his later works, one of the ones that we should really talk about is 13 Assassins. Because this was one of his least ridiculous and most sincere films he's ever made, I think.
Yep.
Where it's a story from beginning to end. There's no hyper-violence. There is violence because it's about 13 assassins being hired to protect this one town.
It's kind of like Seven Samurai.
Yeah, the way it is Seven Samurai, except there's 13 of them. You watch it and you really kind of can't believe that, well, he's made all these other movies and then 13 Assassins comes out and it's like a historical film.
It's like a Oscar bait masterpiece.
Yeah. Like it takes place in the Edo period and there's samurai and there's a warlord who's coming to march through a town. And well, what do you know? We're going to take him on. And then you watch and then it ends and you're like, wow, that was beautiful.
His film Strashield, which came out in 2013, was actually nominated for the Palme d'Or at Cannes. So, I mean, he's getting around. There's a thing, and you Wicked Anime fellas are probably familiar with it. It's called V-cinema. It's a terminology in Japan, which basically means direct-to-video live-action films. And it's where he got his start in some respects, and he still does it intermittently, no matter what his mainstream successes are, because it's kind of like where he just goes to do the crazy shit that he can't get away with anywhere else.
Yeah, they have a term for that in anime, where they make OVAs, which is original video animation, where they can break all the rules they want. Like, that's how Violence Jack got released.
Yeah.
You know, and even they had to censor that, and it was an OVA.
Yeah, it's kind of a trend in Japan to do that, though, too, in the same way that you can be a famous artist for being a mainstream porn animator.
Yeah.
And you get no crap for it. Like, in the same way that your career would be destroyed if you started working in porn in America, you wouldn't be able to work in any other industry. In Japan,
it's how you start.
It's all the same.
So with Takashi Miike making these experimental films that go direct to video, and they're just the worst thing on the face of the planet, it's just him experimenting with what he can do for a real feature film.
Right.
Which is a beautiful thing. Like, everybody should have that kind of medium in their respective art forms, and it was difficult in the East to do that. So that's about time for us. As I said, we're going to be linking to all the things we mentioned on this episode's page, which is quite a list at this point. And when possible, they will all be Amazon links, and those Amazon links will be Nerdy Show affiliate links. That means by buying any of these films or television series, you can give back to Nerdy Show.
Oh my goodness, Cap, I just looked up Visitor Q. There's no official like Amazon DVD. The used price minimum is $32.87.
And if you want to spend that $32 and such cents, you can do it through our Amazon links. And I don't know what the percentage give back is, but maybe buy some batteries too. But if you'd like to support Nerdy Show more directly, we of course have our Nerdy Show Network Patreon, which goes to support the entire Nerdy Show Network and helps provide a little bit of monthly funding to all of our programming, as well as keeping the lights on and offering a ton of wonderful perks for you. That's all at patreon.com/nerdyshow. We should also mention there's one other way to support everybody. It involves no money whatsoever, and that's rating and reviewing on iTunes. Those ratings and reviews give us visibility to help other people discover these fine programming. So Wicked Anime, Friday Night Fan Fiction, and Nerdy Show all need your love. I'll leave on this fun fact acquired from Mike's Wikipedia page. His favorite film is Starship Troopers.
Oh, good choice.
I can see that. Yeah.
And he's got a good taste in films.
He does. He does. Not surprisingly, Paul Verhoeven is among his favorite directors, along with Akira Kurosawa, Hideo Gosha, who's known for Three Outlaw Samurai and Sword of the Beast, and David Lynch and David Cronenberg, two of my favorite David filmmakers.
Also, I'm not shocked either.
If you haven't ever listened to Wicked Anime or Friday Night Fan Fiction, what's wrong with you? Guys, what do you have coming up?
Well, we just finished recording our last episode, which is coming out in the next couple of weeks, which is all about the new season of anime that's coming out right now. And soon after that episode, Con Month is starting up really soon.
Yes, it is.
So Anime Boston's coming up, and we're actually going to be seeing some of our fans. We've been chatting with them online about seeing them at Anime Boston.
Con Month is our favorite. We have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
We're on season four's Longfic, which is a reread of the original Celestia and Daycare's Excellent Adventures, which was removed from the internet, but we still have one of the only extant complete copies. We've been in pokophilia incest hell for the last 12 weeks. Season five should be starting sometime between February and March, we hope. Outside of that, I just got back from MAGFest. Thankfully, I avoided most of the con flu, but it was a fantastic time. I will be reading fan fiction live at ODUCon in Virginia. At the end of this month, January 27th, 28th, and 29th, we'll be reading January 27th from 8 to 10, headlining at the main events.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. Yeah. Mark your calendars, folks. You should come out and see all the Nerdy Show Network peoples at the cons. We'll be all scattered about throughout the country. If you got any questions about where and when we're going to be, just ask us. We're on the internet. You can find us. That's where you found this, you big goof.
Just don't hack my webcam, please. I have private time.
Well, now that you canceled all your porn subscriptions, I don't know. I mean,
how dang, right?
Yeah. What do you mean, dang? Is that like reverse psychology?
Yeah, now you're boring, Steve-O.
Yeah,
nothing to hack into now.
Consarn it.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. Taking us out, we have a brand new track, a Nerdcore collab from IQ, Tech Force, and Kadesh Flow. Three rappers who all have an affinity for anime raps of various kinds. IQ, for example, did his Attack on Titans mixtape not so very long ago. This is a track from Nerdcore Absolution Volume 3, and it's called Hunger.
Yo, I come with an apparatus that passes through all the fabrics of time, space, and reality, pushing past all those boundaries, hunger shaping reality, eating knowledge capacities. The more I see, the more that I want, chasing down those fancy feats I haven't known the sweet release. I chase it down with creatine and dumble all the doors with the bells, cause then I feel it me, my focus is laser beam, I roll with a monster team so you can say whatever you want. If you're not feeling me, my power has been released. My moves you will never see. I'm ripping competition in half. Rapping is killing beats. A sign you will never see. A testament to this dream. One of your people have to die. Having what you make is mine. Hurting you all into a line. Cause it was my design. Negan is a killer, he said. Bashing your homie's head. Hunger's my ambition, you fool. And now your people's dead. Tirelessly chasing my goals. Was it something I said?
Must be weak MC season. Beat him viciously like the Walking Dead's Negan. Flow based in fire like Behemoth when he's breathing. Meat eater over here, all of y'all are vegans. Tend the whack dudes together, this is a just cause. Put me on the beat, I attack it with the Panther's claws. Fasting for weeks, oh yeah man, the hunger strong. Put you out of your misery, believe me, not for long. trained for weeks on these beats. In a citadel, my teacher released me. Told me to give him hell. We can keep fighting. They don't need to ring the bell. You'll stop eventually. Bash all of your brain cells. Rethink your strategy. Living so haphazardly. Wrote you out of the script. Not part of the canon. See? Took a stand. All y'all MCs are mumbling. Real with these bars. Now learn a little humbling.
And it beats in the season of the recipe. Reef for the week, cause the teeth got no empathy. Feel you biting at my heels like Achilles beast. Things that say it can mess with me. Hip hop is dead to the zombie I get to be. If rap is evil, Sam Raimi directed me. I'm ready to eat, pardon me. Do you my anger? I switch to Super Saiyan. Teleperi and Moomoo's, I'm flagrant. They are consumed by my sayings. I produce cause they're waiting in the stands. Root for my plan. They don't kick it like the boo 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 Zaylas. People move to this door. I recall when gurus extorted me to rock out on this piece like Screw Elvis, do Louis Jordan. And that history's too important. They hope these dudes ignore it. That's why I watch in the studio, starving to prove that our boots kick the doors in. If